On October the 15th, 2016, David Wynne created a comic book purely from the suggestions of people on Twitter, and we called it Twitter Comic 2016. Alongside it, we opened up a Just Giving page to raise money for the mental health charity Mind, which is very close to our hearts. You can still donate to that and get a copy of the comic book that David created called Astro Vikings if you go to justgiving.com/fundraising/WHI. We also created a podcast alongside it for 24 hours. And these are the records of the Starship Twitter Comic 2016. Tap drip.
When did it start doing that?
Tap drip.
It only just started doing it. So that's 13. That's 14.
So I'm guessing 15.
Yeah, but we don't have anything. That's fine.
Okay, so this is segment 15.
Segment 15. We're on the final straight here.
We're starting to get on the final straight. People, I think in this one are going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Which changes the dynamic a little bit. People came back and kind of helped lifted us up over the line. But
they've been sleeping.
They had been sleeping. So you get people coming back who are full of vim and vigour. And I had that horrible feeling of just being dirty on the inside. And I don't mean in a smutty way, but just there was no... after being up for so long, it feels like your blood's gone slightly acidic. And you need to be cleansed.
I can't relate to that. Mm. I've just noticed you're in shorts, James.
Yeah, no, I'm in shorts, yeah. I've got nice legs. Did I mention I've got a bike? This is James.
James, and I'm Nick. It's worth mentioning at this point, although I think it's come up in previous segments already.
Probably.
That trigger warning, we...
Talk about only fools and horses.
Trigger warning, there are times when we sound as if we might be losing our minds.
Yeah.
There have been giggling fits for a few hours. They get a bit out of control at this point. But anyway, so that's that. You can listen and enjoy, listener.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, welcome back to this week.
Turn the music off.
Yeah.
There we go. Welcome back to the...
is that the table creaking, or is that our limbs creaking?
It's my fucking brain.
So, I know that the good thing as podcasters at this point... Welcome to the Twitter Comic 20 season, and James already done that bit. The thing that podcasting would be doing would be... We would have subjects to talk about at this point. To keep us sounding like at least there was a plan, even though there wouldn't have been, and we're clearly a bit quite exhausted.
We can have a game of Would You Rather.
No, but we can talk a little bit about the process of doing this, because I have a question about endurance. So, you guys all work
in Japanese game show.
Excellent.
You guys all work in medicine, right? So, I am...
You do too.
So, the inside of my mouth...
Yeah.
I've got... I think there's a hole there. Yeah. It wasn't there before.
That's called your trachea, like you swallow through.
No, on the side of my mouth.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember biting it at any point.
So,
what's most likely? Have I actually bitten the side of my mouth and it's a perfectly natural, normal thing? Or has he drinking as much caffeine as I have and as many stupid snacks? And these brown trees pick and mixes that we've... Hang on. Am I burning a hole in the side of my mouth?
Yes, but it's not any of the causes you've...
It's AIDS.
Full-blown AIDS.
Full-blown AIDS.
Yeah. I was going to say it's them fucking Adventure Time sweets.
Yeah, it could
be. But you only have two.
So look, probably two. Not. But they're full of AIDS.
Now that
I can't.
Now that AIDS has become a legitimate way of treating cancer, we can make jokes about it. I think is how it works. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty like sure.
That. I don't know.
No. I don't know. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm still here.
Hi. Hello. Hi. Hello.
We knew that.
Yeah, that's.
I'm not sure I did. So.
Yeah. Proof that Jesse's still with us.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, but you know what? I cheated, so the rest of you guys did.
No, that's okay.
We're good because you guys have been out for so long.
But you were in the room.
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah.
So you're the real hero.
Am I?
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, no.
I just kind of tuned back into like AIDS and cancer, so like.
Oh yeah, that's not the time to wake up.
Yeah.
All the great comedy subjects.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's great.
How many poos has everyone had?
Dozens.
Yeah, I'm having luck.
I mean, today.
Yeah,
not in your whole life.
Oh God, no! Way more than dozens my whole life.
I've definitely had like 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's not
big, eh? I think I have, but only in a couple of settings. See, I can still do it deliberately if I really try.
Donald Trump.
That'll set us off.
Yeah.
Donald Trump apparently is...
a racist. Opportunistic and opportunistic racist.
All of the things that you're going to say in my many attempts to complete this sentence are going to be a yes.
I will say this about Donald Trump. I don't think he actually has small hands. I just think he wears really ill-fitting suits.
just wears really ill-fitting arms.
And it tells you, definitely, I'm not a one to place too much stock in status symbols, like nice posh suits or anything like that. But it definitely speaks to someone's character if they have that much money and still can't find good fitting suits. Because you could be that, like the Kingpin can get suits that make him look dapper.
Yeah.
And he's probably got half the money that Donald Trump has.
Maybe Donald Trump
and
buys...
And he's imaginary.
Maybe Donald Trump buys the suits that he feels suit him the best.
Oh.
Maybe the look he's achieved is the look that he aspires to.
Maybe I'm a loser for it. I mean, it seems to work for him. Yeah, he surrounds himself with beautiful, wonderful people.
Why doesn't he just dress up as Spider-Man?
Well, but they're evil inside.
Do you think he could be Spider-Man if he wanted to? Like, could he, like, fund technology to stick on walls and, like, shoot? Well, I suppose he kind of does shoot webbing of sorts from his hands.
A webbing of manipulation.
Yeah.
And
semen.
Yeah.
No, that's Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. He shoots semen from his hands. Where's the... I don't understand. Donald Trump doesn't shoot anything from his hands, does he?
No, I just think
not
that...
Not when he's in his Donald Trump, guys. This is when he's Spider-Man.
Yeah. That's why he's such a wisecracker.
I've got to the part of the...
He's a wisecracker.
I'm sex monster.
He's challenged Hillary
Clinton.
That's old news. They've been competing for weeks.
So a UFC battle?
I like your Donald Trump. I think it's quite good. But then I can't do voices, so it all seems impressive to me.
He's challenged...
In voices. Brilliant.
Oh, fucking hell.
Basically, my Brian Cox is just spuggy off Biker Grove. But like a man.
Aren't impressions lazy?
I'm a lazy when I try and do them, and it's loads of work and potential humiliation for me. When you do them, somehow they're fucking art or your thing. And you don't even think twice about them; you just do them. How privileged you are with your effortless improvisation.
Don't
Read your fucking thing, James. Donald. Read your thing. Yeah. Donald Trump.
Oh, shit, you were reading that. I forgot he's doing that.
Donald Trump has challenged Hillary Clinton to a game of boggle. Donald Trump has challenged Hillary Clinton to a duel at dawn.
Yeah, he's he slaps her with a glove.
Rapier.
What?
Fucking sold. A fucking sold.
Donald Trump has challenged Hillary to a bald egg eating contest.
Okay, alright, there we go, yes. See who can eat 50 hard boiled eggs.
Almost.
Donald Trump has challenged Hillary to a pie eating contest, but he's not intending to win. Oh no, he's eaten some, drunk some castor oil, and he's eaten a bunch of old boiled eggs beforehand, because what he really wants to do is eat as much of the blueberry pies as everyone else, and then when it's reaching its apex, he wants to vomit all over the people who've humiliated him his entire life and make them all vomit over each other.
He's challenged Hillary to save a dog from an imaginary fire.
Oh God!
Anyway, so what's he done?
I think I'm gonna throw up. Oh,
Donald Trump thinks he's gonna throw up.
Fucking hell! Let me see the words. Donald Trump, Nick, has challenged
treat Hillary Clinton to name three things you find wooden garden chest. Sorry, that was sheer cruelty on my part. I'm sorry, James.
We need to get that music. We need to get that technical difficulties music. Doop 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 bum ba bum. Doop
doop doop doop. Oh no, I'm gonna wet myself. Oh God. Right, Nick.
Twerk. Go to justgiving.com/WHI.
Make it stop.
Jesse's going back to bed.
No.
My eyes hurt so much. Donald Trump's challenged Hillary Clinton to a drug test before the next debate.
Okay, right.
What the fuck is going on in that guy's head?
Can you imagine how that might go? It's like, oh, this mescaline's nice.
Mescaline?
They're going to test it. And then they're going to do a debate on the drugs. That was the joke.
Well done, James.
Oh, best delivery ever, James.
Donald Trump has challenged James Gilley to finish a fucking sentence. Oh, a room full of piss-taking arseholes.
I'll be back in a second.
Oh, God.
I just feel like we should have anticipated this earlier on.
Yeah.
And decided on how far gone we could get at any given point before we strategically cut to a break.
Oh,
are you alright?
Oh, dear.
Because I worry about you with your Schrodinger's diabetes. It's, wait a minute, what day of the month are we?
I think we were a bit cruel to poor James there, I think.
But it was funny. I don't think I knew how to stop, though.
It was funny, though.
Yes, it was.
It's the 16th, which... carried three. Seventeen wouldn't be, but 16. I think this is one of his diabetes days, so we should be a bit more careful. About 60% of the time, James has diabetes.
Okay.
And the other 40% of the time,
you've got asthma.
He doesn't, but I have asthma.
And AIDS.
Actually, I can't have asthma because I think tonight would have set it off, wouldn't it? Maybe I only have asthma at work.
Maybe.
It's a bit weird. I don't really understand.
You're allergic to work.
Well, it's been said. Not by anyone nice. Probably shouldn't have been being said at appraisals and stuff. Oh, I had quite a nice appraisal recently. It's good.
Oh, yeah, I did as well. It was nice.
I like where I'm... Even though where I'm working hasn't changed, it's the same place. But weirdly... Well, not weirdly. Unsurprisingly, all it takes is a slight shift in the balance of the sorts of characters that are in an office, like mine, or a slight shift in the leadership or something, and the whole culture just changes out from under you. So after 7 or 8 years of fretting about the culture and being stressed out about the culture and wanting to change it and trying to have the conversations with people that needed to change it, all it really took was stuff that was completely out of my control to make it happen. So if I'd known that was going to happen, I could have just rested on my laurels all that time and tried not to worry so much about it. That's I should stop popping the Adventure Time egg. It's a really pleasing shape, an egg shape, isn't it? Our eggs, do they come out of the chicken soft and then harden straight away? Is that why they're kind of that shape?
No.
So they're hard inside the chicken?
Yeah, we used to keep hens in our work.
Those are like chickens.
Yeah, they're a variation of chickens,
yeah,
of the female type. Right. And every time they laid eggs, it sounded fucking painful because they'd just be clucking like crazy.
Isn't that just the noise the voices make?
If you think about the size of an egg,
yeah,
in proportion to the size of a chicken,
yeah,
and think of something that size in proportion to the size of you.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it might be painful. I think. I'm reliably informed by women who've had babies that it isn't, that it hurts. It's just I don't know what chickens sound like when they're not. They always sound a bit scary to me.
Well, you know, they do have personalities and, you know.
Scary personalities.
Well, no, they're quite sweet, they're actually. Like,
evil little dinosaurs.
See, look, you can do improv in impressions.
And then they, and then you, like, you put seed down, and they're all like, I'm all up in your grill, and it's, I don't like them.
No.
Although, if you put a turkey in the mix, then the chickens seem benign, because turkeys are horrific dinosaur monsters.
I've got some content.
Excellent.
The clickbait headline is, Hubba Hubba, that's a lot of cabbage.
And he's deliberately trying to make controversial content now.
The headline is, Alabama third grader grows 27-pound cabbage. It goes on to say that a Lee County student has won $1,000 savings bond after growing an enormous cabbage that weighed 27.3 pounds. And I think at this point in the evening, where we're probably congratulating ourselves for making it through the night and getting so far in, I think we all need to remember that we're not an Alabama third grader who's grown an enormous cabbage weighing 27.3 pounds. That takes months of dedication. So well done to... Well, kind of,
but it takes, like, they have to go out and make sure it's watered for a couple of minutes every day, maybe.
Well done from Twitter Comic 2016.
And then Simon the weather Roberts. Does the rest, doesn't it, really?
Well, that was kind of all the reason I needed to just give up. I'm going to go get some sleep on the sofa.
I didn't mean to.
Nice one, James.
Demotivate God you with that it, cabbage James. Talk. I think maybe what we're doing is at the very least.
Fuck that cabbage.
Equal. Well, maybe that's what that third grade is going to do with it now.
I don't know how. Like, you'd have to make a hole in it, and you can make a hole in pretty much anything. So it doesn't have to be a cabbage.
Sorry, I'm assuming that the Canadian school system is similar to the American.
Pretty much, yeah.
How old's a third grader?
So we start school a year later than you guys.
Fuck
so
about that, yeah. What,
normally we year three. So you're one, they're five. Right. So seven?
Eight.
So probably eighth, yeah.
Yeah, definitely too early to be cabbage fucking. I'm sorry.
His parents will have helped him with that.
And in Alabama, it's probably...
Or his older sister. He should be fucking ashamed. He's taking all the credit for that, but I bet a bigger sibling helped him with it. So he's just taking everyone for a ride, and I hope that sits with him for the rest of his life.
You're just saying this because of my Aladdin story, you git.
Oh, I'd totally forgotten about that. I'd totally forgotten about that. I haven't totally forgotten. Mike has a story. Mike, share your shame with James. I think he's forgotten.
I entered a competition and my sister helped me.
Oh, I was having a poo when you were telling this.
Yeah, my sister helped me and then Nick just said how this kid should be ashamed of his cabbage. And
I was drawing a comparison without drawing the comparison.
And did you win something Aladdin related?
I went to a pantomime.
Oh,
and ever since then, my mum refused to take me to pantomimes unless I won competitions to see them because they cost money.
Pantomimes are fucking shit, though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, I don't like them. I once left my sister, we were at Butlins in Pirelli, and there was a pantomime, there was a show of a film that they were showing, and my parents left me and my little sister at that. It was before the littlest one came along, maybe she was a baby at that point. So they left me with my 2 or 3 year younger sister, and I was too young. So they left us in that, and they said the rule was they were going to come and pick us up afterwards. But they didn't turn up when I was expecting them to. But thinking back, maybe I just didn't really understand how time was supposed to work.
I've forgotten how time.
And there was going to be a pantomime called Bluebeard afterwards that I wanted to see because I was a bigger kid. And so I thought, no, I'm gonna take the initiative. I walked my sister back to our chalet. Couldn't, my parents weren't there, so I thought, well, but it's Butlins in Pirelli. My parents wouldn't bring us somewhere that wasn't safe.
Brilliant.
So if I just tell her to stand outside this chalet and she doesn't go anywhere, I can go back to watch Bluebeard or whatever and it'll be fine and it'll be okay.
You rotten sod.
And anyway, so she didn't stand still, and she went wandered off. I think she wandered into someone else's chalet, or like some nice people took her in, or something. She wasn't where they were expecting her to be, and there was big panic, and everyone thought she was missing. And she was missing, strictly speaking. And I've always kind of put that story down to pantomimes, because I don't think the pantomime was worth it.
Right, fair enough.
But I felt awful about that at the time because I was made to feel awful about it. And now I think about it, and I was far too young to be left
as responsible. How old were you?
I think I was probably about 10.
Yeah, maybe.
And we weren't worldly.
Yeah, no, that is too young. Too young. Yeah.
So I don't feel guilty about it anymore. Ha!
No, it's not your fault,
Nick. It's not your fault.
Thank you.
It's not your fault, Nick.
Thank you, Dave.
How does your sister feel about it?
Thank you. I don't care. And I never did.
No, that might be more.
I mean, she was fine. I probably would have felt bad about it if something awful had happened, but it didn't.
It's not your fault, Nick.
I know, please. No,
it's not your fault.
I didn't expect that to actually work. That you actually would start crying.
Oh no, that was real. I can turn it on like that.
Acting. Okay,
baby.
Fucking
I did one word.
Oh, I'm a psychopath.
Are you a psychopath?
Yeah, I mean, I read the John Ronson book, and from reading the John Ronson book, The Psychopath Test, I decided pretty much that I wasn't a psychopath. But I no longer know if I trust John Ronson.
You're not a psychopath.
Okay, good.
Psychopaths have got charisma. No.
Sorry. Phew, that's a relief.
That was an opportunity for cruelty.
Oh, I don't want to do a psychopath test online with you. I can't.
I don't think you're a psychopath, James.
I don't think it's, because that's a bit like taking the piss out of real conditions.
Yes, it is.
I think that's probably inappropriate on a podcast where we're trying to raise money.
Were you thinking about doing it on the podcast? The book, The Psychopath Test, doesn't actually have a psychopath test in it. And it's more about mental health. It is more just generally about how mental health is treated and diagnosed and stuff like that. Then the name is slightly misleading in a sort of a slightly tabloidy way. Yeah. Because that's a small part of it, really. And it's a more interesting book, actually, than that name suggests, I think.
I agree, yeah.
There's loads of stuff just about the nature of like what's eccentric and what's mentally ill and stuff like that, which I find fascinating for some reason.
It's a very good book. It's a very good book.
Who's it by?
John Ronson.
And who's it published by?
Don't know.
HarperCollins.
Okay,
cool. Took a punt. Don't matter, he's only going to stick it into Amazon anyway.
Would
he's never going to remember what
was written. $6.99?
Probably.
Yeah. I've got it on Audible, so that's why I
listen to it. Oh, a new Chuck Tingle came out tonight.
Have you read the Chuck Tingles, or do you just like talking about him because he's a character?
Oh, I like him. I like his character.
So, have you read any of them? That was the question.
I'm reliably informed that they're surprisingly good, but I've never got round to reading one yet.
Who's he been pounded by now?
His own terrible tiredness and existential regret at having agreed to do a 24-hour comic.
Pounded in the ass by pounded in the ass by a 24-hour comic.
Yeah. Pounded in the butt by the existential regret of agreeing to do a 24-hour comic.
Yeah. It's always the 25
butt.
Hours.
It's always in the butt, yeah.
Is Chuck Tingle on Twitter?
Yes, he is.
No, his latest is slammed up the butt by my hot coffee boss.
Cool. Okay. He is on Twitter, and he's one of the best. It's one of the best decisions you can ever make, yeah. Following Chuck Tingle on Twitter.
The chap who isn't the hot coffee boss looks a little... Boss looks like coffee bus. Boom, boom, all aboard.
Get up on the hot coffee bus.
He looks a bit like a really beefy Tom Daley.
Right.
Don't you? No, he's cool.
I still think the best one is Pounded in the Butt by My Own Butt. That's the best title he's come up with.
I quite like the Pounded in the Butt Mommy Hugo nomination. That's what that was called.
Pounded in the Butt by the Existential
Horror of Realising I Am a Character in a Chuck Tingle Novel. that's one of his books. do you know what? Here's some content, actually. Let me just read the Wikipedia, his bibliography off Wikipedia. It'll fill some time. I'll tell you what I should do, actually, because he wants some content. I'm waiting for the ink to dry on this page. I'll read out my potential band name list.
Brilliant.
In a minute.
But, before he even waits for the ink to dry, it seems like something a 1950s New York person would say. Yeah. But I can't do the accent. James. No, never mind.
The thing is, every time you do like one of them voices, like an American New York person voice or whatever, it so regularly just sounds like Be Real from Cypress Hill.
When I do it, when James does it.
No, you.
I don't even remember what Be Real from Cypress Hill sounds like.
If you really need an American reading, I'm like the closest thing you can probably get.
That's
so I can
true.
Probably deliver these lines and it's going to sound as real as...
That's very true, actually.
Yeah.
I want to read these out, though.
Yeah.
You know what? Go for it. Yeah.
It's David's turn to shine.
My billionaire triceratops craves gay ass.
These are the band names.
This is Chuck Tingle released. So that was December 9th, 2014. December 10th, 2014. Pounded by President Bigfoot. Taken by the gay unicorn biker. Gay T-Rex law firm executive boner. Space raptor butt invasion. My arse is haunted by the gay unicorn colonel. Pounded by the gay unicorn football squad. I'm gay for my living my living billionaire jet plane. Bigfoot sommelier butt tasting. Unicorn butt cops beach patrol. Seduced by Dr. Bigfoot, attorney at large. Trained by the living biker train. Pounded by the gay colour changing dress. That's right, pounded by the gay colour-changing dress. turned gay by the living alpha diner. Glazed by the gay living donuts. Anally yours, the unicorn sailor. Pounded in the butt by my own butt. Top horn, turned gay by the unicorn pilots. Pounded in the butt by my book, pounded in the butt by my own butt. Bigfoot pirates haunt my balls. Gagent brontosaurus, the butt is not enough. Vampire night bus pounds my butt. Shared by the chocolate milk cowboys. Reamed by my reaction to the title of this book. The curse of Bigfoot butt camp. Professor T-Rex teaches me gayness. Bigfoot settlers claim my butthole. Lonely Arthur pounded by dinosaur social media followers. Angry man pounded by the fear of his latent gayness over a dinosaur transitioning into a unicorn. slammed up the butt by my hot coffee boss.
Yeah.
Hunter dentist pounded in the butt by Cecil the handsome unicorn. The state of California stalks my gay butthole. Pounded in the butt by my leaked Mashley Addison data. President Donald Loch Ness Trump pounds America's butt. Happy birthday, Frankenstein. Now pound my butt.
Some of these titles didn't need... It's like they've all got subtitles and they don't need them necessarily. Yeah. I like it.
Dan Bigfoot Zarian parties in my butthole with his billionaire lifestyle. Oppressed in the butt by my inclusive holiday coffee cups. Monday pounds me in the butt. Pounded in the butt by my book. Pounded in the butt by my book. Pounded in the butt by my own. Farmer Bro pounded in the butt by T-Rex comedian Bill Murky and a clan of Triceratops rappers trying to get their album back. Dinosaur magicians Pin and Tucker make their wieners disappear in my butt. Eight Bigfoot buckaroos hate my butt and pound it. Creamed in the butt by my handsome living corn. Slammed in the butthole by my concept of linear time. Pounded in the butt by my book. Pounded in the butt by my book. Pounded in the butt by my book. Pounded in the butt by my own butt. Turned gay by the existential dread that I may actually be a character in a Chuck Tingle book. Leonardo DiCaprio finally wins his award and pounds it, and it pounds him in the butt. Slammed in the butt by the living leftover chocolate chip cookies from my kitchen cabinet. Living inside my own butt for 8 years, starting a business and turning a profit through common sense, reinvesting the strategic targeted marketing. This American butt, hosted by Ira Ass. Feeling the burn in my butt. Slammed in the butt by my Hugo Award nomination. Space Raptor butt redemption. Pounded in the butt by my irrational bigoted fear of humans who were born as unicorns raising a human restroom. Sorry, using a human restroom. Pounded in the butt by my book. 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 Pounded in the butt by my own butt. Pounded by my handsome ghost boats. Schrodinger's butt. Pounded by the pound. Turned gay by the socio-economic implications of Britain leaving the European Union. Slammed by the substantial amount of press generated by my book Pounded by the Pound, turned gay by the socio-economic implications of Britain leaving the European Union. Space Raptor Butt Ascension. Pokey Butt Go, pounded by them all. Slammed in the butt by Donald Trump's attempts to avoid accusations of plagiarism by removing all facts or concrete plans from his Republican National Convention speech. First Buckaroo Bill pounded by the handsome living White House. Stranger pounds. Pounded in the butt by my Hugo Award loss. Kissed on the wiener by my own wiener. Slammed in the butt by my smartphone's missing headphone jack. Butt wars, rogue buns. Brangelina splits apart and then pounds their own butt. Helicopter Man pounds Dinosaur Billionaire Ass and Buttageddon, the final days of pounding ass. So there you go.
That's comprehensive.
Yeah.
If you've just joined us, this is Twitter Comic 2016. What you just heard was a dramatic reading by David Wynne, a cartoonist in residence of Twitter Comic 2016. A dramatic reading of the Chuck Tingle bibliography. Just in case you thought you'd tuned in to one of those weird numbers stations things that broadcast 24 hours and nobody knows what they're really about. Yeah. That wasn't a code. That was actually Chuck Tingle's bibliography. Can I just... I read... There's an Amazon description here of... Pounded by the pound, turned gay by the socio-economic implications of Britain leaving the European Union, which you just mentioned. Because the thing is, these titles, some of them are so long and descriptive that I've always struggled to imagine what the actual books would have in them, because it seems to all be there in the title. From the Amazon description of that title, in this horrific future where Britain has left the EU, four-story buses lie strewn about the streets of London after a failed plan to cut costs. The Queen's Guard have been replaced by flying reptiles with machine guns, and the River Thames runs red with molten lava. So there is more content to them. He's not just coming up with titles that are funny.
No, he's putting words in them.
That sounds like that's as much plot as a Michael Crichton novel, probably.
Jay reads them religiously and swears that they are actually good books.
Mm, okay.
So my potential band names list.
Yes.
Okay. Knucklehead.
Yeah.
Bigfoot. Courage Wolf. Malevolent Dictator. The Dozy Crows. Shriek Machine. Fightaholics. The Scallywags. Adventures. Mysterious Dildo. Alcoholic Euphoria. John Thomas and the Knackers. Horrifying Squid Baby. Lady Crotch. Unruly Trouser Habits. Dangerous Nail Insertion. The Brown Note. Severed Penis. Arguably Carcinogenic. Helietica. Fat Neck.
That took me a while, sorry. Helietica took a little while.
Yeah. Fat Neck. The Chunky Knits. Majestic and Pendulous. Perilously Long Toes. Creeping Jesus. The Knobbly Bobblies. Banger Factory. Rusty Ovaries. Anti-Mullet Device. Sock Renaissance. Punk Rock Unicorns. Storm and All of the Ladies. Pralines and Dick. Sparkly Wellies. Porn Star Baby Killer. Shit, shit, shit bag. We'll Sit for Beef. Shout Bucket. Newsarama Comments Section. Schwung. Rock Brussel. Slack Mammoth. Hood Full of Dandruff. Nauseating Spinal Pain. Greasy Mustache. Micro Penis. Beef Dripping. Salty Old Heads. Stand Up Tragic. Herbal Terrorist. Tricky Poos. Shit Riddle. Party Drugs. Beef Treats. Demon Bear Crotch. Happy Sigh. Like a Goth Lion. Sex Under the Murder Tree. No One Will Ever See My Eyes Again.
Shit.
Boom Tube. Motherbox. The Full Spots. Hypographical Terror. Bring the Concrete. Aggressively Fucking Terrible. Problematic Attic. Piss Down. Rue Puncher. Sweaty Gusset. Minty Nine. And Suddenly Porn. Bloodsock. Soft Ripened Cheese. Sorry in Advance. The Murder Grandpas. Truck Fucker. Unfriendly. Straighter Than We Want to Be. Grandma's Arse Tattoo. My Blood's Half Whiskey. Utter Chucklefuck. Doug Ramsey's Fancy Hair. Potentially Wrong Maths. This Week Everyone Dies. One Weird Trick. BM. Electric Bastard. Banana Repair. Skeleton Army. Seahorse Orgy. Unprovoked Attack. Fuck Me Genesis are really fucking boring. Plain White Gnome. The New Emojis. Problematic Fave. All Men. Havoc's Dissertation. The Hidden Zippers. Sad in a Vacuum. Perilously Close to Helvetica. Dancing Blood Pixie. Soap Goat. Man Sock. Gay Cannibal Love Bible. Midichlorian Jihad. Melting Senator. Recycling Cable's Head. Relatively Benign Mayhem. It's Cool They At Least Kind of Tried. Shit Castle. Warm and Weird and Wonderful. The 70s was a shaggy time. Hashtag Team Gratuitous Hashtaggery. Shit Marmot. Arguing with Invisible Strangers. Beach Snood. Internet Hate Gun. Chaotic Pedant. Hot Piss. Gripe Water. Motorway Porn Emporium. Delta Beetle. Delta Beetle. Boob Sock. Instant Teenage Grandparents. The Devil Man Agenda. Somber Dick Montage. Shuff. Gargoyle Tits. Death Treats. Donald Trump's Fuck Ass Opinion. Teeth and Breasts. Project Fear. Women of Abandoned Pastries. TBH. Stinky Fish Smell. Furnival. Massive Green Hemorrhoids. Nice Sugary Treats. The Great Understander. Sorry, this is very long. Falls the Fuck Over. Hostile Power Trip. Trolls and Child Endangerment. Naive Wildebeest. The Blood Brain Barrier. Babel Bubble Rubble. Bubble Bub. Babel Bubble Double. Those are both about Strife from the X-Men.
All right.
The Free Diving Grannies. Excellent Lizard Friends. murderists, top bollocks, predetermined dicks, cracked windscreen, musical boobs, any given redhead, fragile X, exotic communication, Willy at the Tank Museum, Achilles tendon and the stiff hips, half price amethyst, bread slot, the gin is not wrong, and hot pate.
That sounds... I know that that's a list of your potential band names.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me, as you're reading it, like either an incredibly localised and specific expansion of Cards Against Humanity, or about a year's worth of James Kochalka music projects.
Yeah, I can see either of those. Yeah.
But I liked it. Yes. I liked lots of them. I can't really remember.
I've been carrying that list around with me for literally years now, and I'm just adding to it, and then sort of it's been dawning on me that I haven't actually done anything with it, and it's getting to a length where, you know, I ought to share it with people, but then it just kind of takes a while.
It's easier to it's easier and more satisfying for the amount of effort you put in to collect potential future projects than it is to actually do them, though, isn't it?
Yes,
that's the thing.
Yes, it is.
I know the feeling.
Did you do Mysterious Dildo?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. You were in the toilet.
I'm walking around because...
You're walking off the giggles.
I was starting to nod.
You had the giggle biz going on there.
Oh, giggle biz.
The giggle biz came all up inside you.
Don't make me think about giggle biz.
Is that Justin?
Yeah.
Justin is a celebrity among parents of children of a certain age.
Hello, hello.
That's the man.
How are you? Hello, hello. It's good to see you. I said hello.
I'm sorry that you came. That's not right. Happy that you came.
Let's go out and about. Out and about today.
Chris Eccleston was on a Leftovers panel. The show The Leftovers panel a while ago, a couple of years ago, I think. And the guy running the panel asked the question, what TV shows are getting you excited that you're watching at the moment? And Chris Eccleston said, well, I've got kids of a certain age, so I'm not up to date on like the box sets. There's not a lot of sleeping or whatever. But he said, so we are watching lots of children's TV. And he sang the praise of CBeebies, which is good, because I genuinely think CBeebies is amazing. and I'm surprised to feel that way, but like I it is quite amazing. And but he started talking about something special, and he started talking about the guy Justin and how amazing an actor this guy is.
Yeah,
because he plays two characters. He plays this clown,
yeah,
and he plays this special needs guy.
Yeah.
Who's like is with the, so he differentiates between Mr.
Tumble
and Justin, and describes, and I don't think he's taking the piss, he describes Justin as the guy pretending to be a special needs guy, and I'm like, no, he's just enthusiastic. I don't think that's a character. He's not meant to be special needs.
I don't know.
Is he?
I don't know. I think possibly he's meant to be sort of ambiguous for the young people watching, or the people watching. I mean, I don't know. See, bear in mind, I've only watched the programme in the company of people with learning disabilities.
Yeah.
So I guess I come to it from a slightly different angle, because, yeah, he does come across... But, you know,
it's really inclusive.
Yeah, it is.
But the thing is that there's a level at which he's just a really good, like,
kids TV presenter.
What he's doing is just a really developed, for me it feels like a really developed version of the way all of those kids TV presenters talk to,
yes,
kids. And also he's and also because they do have a learning disabilities and special needs, there are always kids on there from those groups and with those issues, so it is super inclusive. But I'd never read the character like that, and Chris Eccleston just seemed effortlessly to, and I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But one thing I have always thought about him, and I know I've mentioned this on podcasts before, is I feel there are often times when he is abusing his position as the guy, because he produces the shows as well. There are times when he, like, there are times when they, he does things with the kids on the show that are clearly really a little bit wishful fulfillment of him. So there was one where they went and saw the I guess it was the England rugby team or some famous rugby team at a practice.
Harrison, right. I think.
Or was it? I don't know who it was, but they were at practice and they did a bit. They did a bit of interaction with the children that were there. But then there was a point where he said, "Oh, go out and practice with you. Don't mind if I do." And Justin was running around the field with the guys, and I was watching it, and the kids were on the sidelines going, "Yay, this is enthusiastically watching him running around with the rugby team." And I was like, he clearly just wanted to practice with the rugby team.
Didn't he pull the same stunt when he goes to see Manchester City?
I didn't see that one, but sounds like the same sort of thing.
I'm pretty sure that one from the National Space Centre.
Is that like the one where he has to leave the kid because there's an accessibility issue of some kind, or so he goes up in the tower and does something cool and spacey? And you don't actually see the kid again until the end of the thing. Yeah, so there is a little bit of wishful thinking.
Love Justin. He's like Gigglebiz, actually, we used to like in particular. His sketch show.
I think there's just a level at which I am suspicious of or begrudge his success. Because he's clearly the... I imagine many of the people on CBeebies who are there for a while and get to a certain point and get to have their own shows that they're at the centre of probably get a production credit or something on there. But he's doing really well out of it, isn't
it? I think worse than that. I think the current climate we live in terms of the state of how much we trust our celebrities, that a beloved unmarried male of a certain age on TV starts to seem a bit sinister.
See, I wouldn't even know that, because I see him as such a, like the whole rugby team thing. I am far more likely to think of him as, if I was going to have a suspicious mind about him, which I clearly do, it would be more that he doesn't care for children at all.
I mean, that's a more likely possibility.
Like, this is where he's ended up, and he's making the very, very best of it. Like, there's a bit at the end of Inside Out, where the film Inside Out, where you get to see inside the minds of a bunch of extra characters who are in it, and it cuts to the inside of the mind of a clown at a children's party, and he's like being really enthusiastic for the children. The children aren't bothered at all, and it zooms into his head, and they're all like, "We did 4 years of drama college for this," or something. And I feel like there might be people who spend their entire lives wanting to be children's TV presenters, but traditionally it's been a place where most people who do it, the second they can transition into some other sort of presenting or something where maybe there's more money or whatever, they do. And fair play to them, that's fine. But, like, he's made quite a lucrative career out of sticking around there, hasn't he?
Not quite, very.
Yeah. And I don't like... my one most English trait is I really don't like successful people.
No.
I begrudge them.
But he keeps the Tiny Tots entertained.
I remember David Bailey once wrote a thing. The comic writer and cartoonist once wrote a blog post about his path to a comic writing career or whatever, and he describes spending like his entire 20s and I think maybe the beginning part of his 30s waiting for the comic publishers to discover him, despite the fact that he never really wrote anything or did anything or put anything out into the world or anything. And that's pretty much the path I've always hoped to go along. And and despite that, I still begrudge people who actually made a go of things and did well at it. So I think I might be the evil one.
The thing with Justin is like, whatever you know, bad thing you might be able to think about him or find reason to, you know, distrust him or whatever, he's not a fucking tweenie.
Yeah, that's true. I do not like the tweenies.
Hey, what do you say? I say fuck off.
Yeah.
do my fucking... And you know one of those actors. You know someone's had sex in one of those outfits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, oh, the least
yeah.
ones.
Yeah.
You mean two people in the same outfit? No, they've had... Yeah.
No, that'd stretch them out, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That would stretch them out. Well, the one thing, the only thing I can really cling to is at one point I voiced my disdain of Justin, probably before Noah was really old enough for me to realise how valuable Justin's shows could end up being. And a friend of mine whose wife I think is a BSL, like a British Sign Language.
Yep.
She teaches people, trains people in it. We were talking about there's a show on CBeebies called Let's Play, which has two of the more likable, like the most likable, because they're all pretty likable, but two of the most likable CBeebies presenters, a woman and a man, and we really like them. I really like that show. We really like them. And so I think I talked about him and about them, and we were also talking about Justin. Sorry. And this friend of mine said, my wife, wife or partner or whatever, teaches British Sign Language, and the guy from Let's Play was really good and really engaged and really made an effort to learn it. It was Justin, just used to make his own stuff up and wouldn't be told. That's why he would not be told. He'd get stuff wrong and then wouldn't be told that it was wrong.
I don't know very much, because one of the things, he uses a lot of Makaton on the show. I actually don't know very much
Makaton. Maybe it was Makaton.
Because I'm still, I haven't had that training yet, basically. But I do know that a lot of people I've worked with know Makaton very well, and they all say, oh yeah, there's, you know, this show's great and everything, but it's Makaton's fucked.
Yeah.
I
think he's maybe too much of a performer, or like too flamboyant.
I think one of the things is like the hand movements you do in Makaton are they're very specific.
Mm.
So if you do something that is similar but not quite the same, you're saying something completely fucking different. Instead of saying dinner, you're saying, you know, I don't know, turn the tap on or something. But
which is only good if dinner is like a glass of water.
Yeah, exactly.
Which it hardly ever is. So yeah, I think it was Makaton. I told that story badly.
No, you didn't.
Let's Play's quite good. This is interesting for me because some of the times I spent more than 24 hours awake in the past have normally been drug-induced, really, really long time ago. But at this time in the morning, normally, was when you ended up watching the earliest of the Saturday morning kids' programming.
So, whereas today we're just talking about it
instead. Yeah, but like really, really scrutinising how the people look at each other. I remember watching, I think it was Bruno Brooks. No, I think it was Bruno Brooks, or was it Bruno Brooks or Pat Sharp? Was like some DJ with a mullet was one of the presenters on one of those kids' programs, and we were just like, Jesus, he's really unhappy to be there. It had never occurred to us before just how much contempt for each other these people have. It seemed really, really obvious while we were watching Go Live or whatever the fuck it was.
Oh, God.
Going Live or Live and Kicking or one of the BBC ones, I think. I was always an ITV Saturday morning kids programme person growing up. They had all the best ones. Tis Wild's number 73.
I used to watch both channels. I used to cartoon surf. I always had a policy with kids TV that I would not watch a live action kids TV show if I could fucking help it. No Grange Hill or Biker Grove for me. It's always, okay, there's a cartoon on the and generally, you used to be able to line them up. You'd be able to look after your Action Force, then your Thundercats, then your Transformers.
They worked to the same sort of schedule, those shows. Like, and even the ones, because some of the cartoons were in the
those shows.
The shows, like not Tiz Wars, but number 73 and stuff like that.
You'd have, like, WhatsApp Doc on one side and Going Live on the other, and you could and like, okay, watching Fantastic Four on the one side and then switch over and watch Batman the Animated Series on the other.
God, you are younger than me.
Yes, I am, yes. That's why I'm so much more attractive.
Yeah, that's true. Height tends to help in that direction as well. Small people.
That's true.
It doesn't take, like, we can be attractive, but it doesn't take very much for us to go full Hobbit. And only certain people like that, I think. The main one, although it wasn't, I was probably getting to the point where I was maybe a bit too old for it, but number 73, I really did enjoy. That was quite good. But it's the only one I really remember enjoying. And at the time, I don't think I realised that I thought Sandy Totsvig was really, really good.
See, I barely remember, like, my memory of number 73 is, I remember The Door,
mm-hmm.
and I have this strong residual affection for Sandy Totsvig.
Yeah.
And Neil Buchanan, because he was on it as well, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
And that, but that's it. I remember nothing about the actual show. I grew up with it. Like, same with Tiswas and Chris Tarrant.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't remember the programme at all.
A lot of people went through that, because that's where Lenny Henry really yeah. started as well.
Yeah.
There was a satirical news story that I really appreciated on going around Facebook the other day. I can't remember if it was News Thump or The Poke or whatever. But it was, the headline was, Banksy finally reveals to be Neil Buchanan all along. And the thing is, now I think vague dismay about Banksy I might have had has kind of gone, but because I like Neil Buchanan quite a lot.
I quite like Banksy, to be honest. I think a lot of the cynicism around Banksy comes from directions I'm quite cynical about.
Oh, right. Like, okay.
I remember when that fucking Dreamland thing or whatever it was called that he did. I remember seeing a lot of, like, people I quite like and think are quite smart being really cynical about it online, but they're all like Americans and Australians,
mm-hmm.
and they were all being like, oh, look at him. Satirising Disney, because no one's ever satirised Disney mm-hmm. before, and you're like, no, he's not satirising.
He's using Disney to satirise corporate, like,
what, the
corporate
state of the country.
The thing that, like, I mean,
that's what
I didn't.
His stuff's really simple,
yeah,
and it's really it's really obvious what he's saying a lot of the time. But except that it seems really fucking obvious, but an awful lot of people, when they criticise them, don't seem to fucking get it.
The Disney stuff was weird, and I can't really remember what I think my initial reaction was, because I'm a bit cynical about him anyway. Do we definitely know it's a him?
No, we don't.
But because I'm really cynical about them anyway,
yeah.
Like, my initial reaction to the Disneyland thing was, like, oh, so what are they up to now, sort of thing, and in a quite cynical way. I'm not really doing facial expressions at this point, so it probably wasn't clear how. Well, it wouldn't have been clear to the listener anyway.
Yeah.
But like, it was, oh, what's that twat doing now? But it was curated, wasn't it? They didn't do, like, Banksy didn't do everything in there anyway. Invite artists to come in and do it? And some of it was pretty amazing, like, 3D, like, sculpture art anyway, yeah. which I don't think Banksy's really known for. But the stencil stuff, I do tend to find there is something a little bit sick for me about the... I don't think I'd have a problem with Banksy if it didn't seem to blow the mind so much of... It's quite nicely done stencil art, isn't it? And the points are points that it doesn't hurt for them to be in the mainstream. But the fact that they are the most famous exponent of that particular art form or style seems a little bit... Are these the most, like... Is this the most well-put version of this particular message that is out there, sort of thing?
I think depressing... But that's the thing, is depressingly, yeah. I think a lot of the time... kind of is.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If no one, like, if if the only person saying a thing that needs to be said happens to be not saying it that well,
yeah,
that's still better than nobody saying it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have, like, I mean, I don't know, like, you can point at Marvel Comics in the 60s and point out just how, and people do point out just how fucking, like, all the flaws in there, like, yeah, how melodramatically they were written out, and how suddenly overwrote everything.
How naive some of the ideologies.
Yeah, how actually, despite claiming to be very progressive, there's actually like a strong sort of strain of misogyny running through it, and all of these things. But when it comes down to it, they were saying something, they were doing something no one else was doing at the time when it needed doing. And it's kind of, yeah.
And they were quite reflective of the 60s as well.
Yeah.
Like, the progressiveness that was in the 60s was a particularly misogynistic brand of it.
That is true.
And not necessarily racist, but definitely not racially, like,
not how it could have been.
Particularly, yeah.
Yeah.
Inclusive. But then that really hasn't changed either, because I remember the Daily Show doing it was one of those outlets, but doing a feature on, I think, Occupy Wall Street.
Okay.
You know, the camp that was there for a really long time.
Yeah.
And saying that within that, it was still all the whitest, most well-off people who were getting to make all the decisions, and all of the other voices were kind of just being swamped out. And one side of the camp had, like, places where you could go and recharge all of your stuff and stuff like that, and the other part was people scrabbling for food because they just weren't, like, that. It wasn't egalitarian at all. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Egalitarian.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. I haven't got a space moral for Cosmic to deliver yet.
A space moral?
Yeah, I need a space moral. Space moral.
We need a space moral.
I need a space moral for Cosmic to deliver. It occurs to me, actually, James, that you are the biggest fucking hippie in the room.
Yeah, you are pretty Cosmic, I mean, Neil.
Yeah, I mean, and in a room that I'm in, that's an achievement.
Thank you.
So, give us a Cosmic moral. It sounds like a fucking Rush album.
It does, doesn't it? I'm gonna.
No, it sounds like a Yes album, actually. Cosmic moral.
Yeah. So,
you look like you should go to sleep, Mike.
But no.
Here we go. Oh no, that's not it.
Well, that's a thesaurus.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And dinosaurs ain't going to help you, mate.
No, that's true. There we go. 400 and... Oh, there we go. Oh, what? Hello.
This is great radio.
Good morning. Good morning.
Internet.
Mum. I'm looking at quotes on the subject of morals by the great and the supposedly good.
Oh dear, I don't think that's going to help.
Oh, here's one from Dawkins.
Oh Jesus.
Do you really mean to tell me that the only reason you try to be good is to gain God's approval and reward, or just to avoid his disapproval and punishment? That's not morality. That's just sucking up, apple polishing, looking over your shoulder at the great surveillance camera in the sky, or the still, small wiretap inside your head, monitoring your every move, even your every base thought.
Oh dear.
That's my Dawkins then.
Yeah, it's pretty... felt pretty accurate, to be honest. Every time you take a drag on that thing, it sounds like it's almost just put on a vinyl record.
Yeah,
and the song ain't kicked in yet. Yeah. A cosmic moral.
I like this one from Aesop. Don't let your special character and values, the secret that you know and no one else does, the truth, don't let that get swallowed up by the great chewing complacency.
There were definitely words there.
Yeah. I like the order.
Don't embrace the dragon, smash it.
A moral system valid for all is basically immoral. That's Nietzsche.
Okay, yeah. Hello, pussycat.
Oh.
Don't you creep in the room? Run through. With no love.
This is probably what writers do when they're coming up with stuff they want to put in books. They just look at what other people have said and write that down instead. That's how that works, isn't it?
It's a shame they're not online.
Not for me, but okay.
Can we ask someone on Twitter?
It's a bit late.
Yeah.
Or early.
I don't really... Yeah, I'm on that page now. I just want to get the page done. And it's page 22, but I'm nearly there. I'm nearly there! We're nearly there.
Be excellent to one another.
Yes.
There's a space moral.
And party on, dude. Could he have a guitar?
No.
You know it's Bill and Ted, right?
Yes, I do know it's
Oh, here's one from Henry Miller. He saw that science had become a great hoax as religion, that nationalism was a farce, patriotism a fraud, education a form of leprosy, and that morals were for cannibals.
I don't think you're going to find anything to help me.
No, I don't think I am. Oh, I'm trying so hard.
I'm sorry.
I'm not saying anything, am I? I'm really sorry. I'm totally not as conscious as I should be.
None of us are.
With regards to the fact that there's a microphone there. I'm sorry, microphone. Sorry, listener.
I bought myself a Wonder Bra for $14.99. It looked so good on the model's girl's chest, and I hoped it would be mine. I took it from the packaging, and when I tried it on, the Wonder Bra restored to me all I believed had gone.
Is that Pam Ayres?
Yes.
You sound very Pam Ayres to me.
I'm just looking through Pam Ayres quotes now.
I'm not having Cosmic talk about extolling the values of virtues of Wonder Bras. Doesn't seem quite right.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure Al Ewan would be well into it, but I think he'd approve, actually, probably. But it doesn't feel quite right for this particular moment in this particular moment.
That's fair enough.
A man who fears suffering is already suffering from what he fears.
Who was that one?
Michael D. Montaigne.
I heard that and I thought, oh, that sounds just like Michael De Monte. I can't. I've got nothing for you, mate. I'm so sorry. I think that you're darkest hour and I've got nothing for you. What sort of friend am I?
The wicked are always surprised to find the ability in the good.
One that
is relevant.
Supply me with lots of coffee today. That's what kind of friend you are.
Would you like a Philip?
Would I like a Philip?
Would you like a Philip?
Of coffee.
We've got that 88%, £440.
How does this work, James?
You pour the coffee out of there into a mug, and then
it's still hot.
the person who's got the coffee can drink it. I don't know, just touch your hand against the side of it and you'll be able to...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No.
Do you like milk and sugar?
Just milk, please.
Yeah, so we've raised £440 so far.
That's amazing.
You're listening to the Twitter comic, 2016. There's still time to donate if you want to at justgiving.com/WHI. I'm just going to do the short one this time. David Wynn for the last... where are we now?
We've got 3 hours to go.
So for the last 21 hours... Well done, Dave.
21 hours to go.
Well done.
21 hours to go.
For the last 21
hours. Let me in the studio. I got 21 hours before I go.
For the last 21 hours, it's been dropping truth and spitting beats and creating a comic that has been inspired by your tweets at the hashtag TwitterComic2016. And we've got a tale of epic proportions. There's been gods, there's been small creatures, there's been space Vikings.
That's about it, really.
Yeah, that's
dragon,
quite a lot.
A dragon.
And a dragon. So that's quite a lot to pack into a single story, I'd say.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, you know, bang versus buck ratio, you're doing all right. Are you pleased with what you've created this time round?
I'm pretty happy with it, yeah. It feels more coherent than last year's.
Mm.
But then, I mean...
Yeah,
that's a relative description,
I guess.
But yeah, it feels more like an actual story. Mm. I'm feeling a sense of extreme dissatisfaction writing with it right now because I'm just having real trouble working out what to write in the speech balloon right in front of me.
And frankly, I'm not being much help.
It's not your job.
Well, I suppose not, no. But, you know, I like to help if I can.
Yeah, I need to think of something.
Let's see.
I mean, you have read me out a bunch. To be fair, I asked you for a moral. You read me out a bunch of morals. They're not... they're just not...
The morals quite... You need.
Yeah.
The morals I deserve to have given you. You got any more Paramare's... poems? It's really, I just, because I think it's time for us now, with the time approaching 13 minutes past 7, it's time for us to have a weather report. It's raining really fucking heavily outside.
It's coming down really fucking hard. I keep thinking, do you know what, my brain keeps tricking me into thinking that's the sound of bacon frying.
No.
Which is, that's not good.
Yeah, I'm not going to be cooking any more bacon. There's some croissants out there.
That wasn't a hint, I'm telling you. No. It's just the cruelty of the...
I can see that.
Auditory hallucination. Yeah. Ooh, sizzle, sizzle. No, splash, splash.
No, splash, splash. And that's really been our rule for the evening, hasn't it? And I think so far... So actually, given the amount of coffee that you've had right up against your comic book art there... Done very well not to get any of it coffee stained so far.
Oh, a couple of pages have got a few but you know, they don't. I know how to hide them.
How do you feel about something a bit self-conscious? The sky is the ultimate art gallery just above us.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I've come up with one.
Okay. Lots of sky things.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, there's not much sky really. Not when you consider how much of everything else there is.
I suppose the sky's the beginning.
Where is it? The end.
I suppose the ground is the end.
Maybe. I mean, you know, that's maybe the core. I don't know. But it's a bit like, I'm not going to go there. Again, because I'm not sure I can trust myself to walk down the road that I almost started to pitter-patter off. But maybe about 14 hours ago, I might have had a punt at.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Stuff. Come on, Dave. Come on.
I'm working out the first line for the next page now.
Brilliant.
Hello.
Trying to come up with a... I need a word. I need one word. Letter.
What does that word need to do?
It's describe something big, but in a funny way.
Gargantuan.
No, it's not quite. Ideally, it would be begin with a B and be...
Bulbous.
I might go with that.
Bulbous. Bulge.
I have no fucking clue. Like,
what's the
I'm a bit lost in composition.
Yes, oh. Yeah, we are.
What's the mixer address?
Mixer.
tinyurl.com.
Here's one, mate.
What?
Oh wow, that's a great word.
Brodingnagian.
Oh, that's the
huge, gigantic. Yeah.
Well, it's from Gulliver's Travels. Ah. The Brobdingnam people. They're the huge people.
Brodingnam. Thank you. Yeah. It means huge or gigantic. Brodingnam.
Yeah. Brodingnagian. Yeah, I might use that.
I'm still quite fond of
bulbous. Bulbous is very good. Sorry, yeah. I looked up synonyms. I didn't use my brain to get that, really. I mean, I had to engage my brain when I typed something into Google, but that's as far as it went.
I don't really trust my brain.
The
rain's amazing.
What?
The rain's amazing. I closed it because I suspect we're not realising how much the rain was impacting. It's like this constant roaring in the background.
Sorry. Yeah. It almost certainly was impacting listener.
What's the Mixler account?
It's where we're doing that.
No, just tell me the address.
To listen to it or to actually get
to listen
to
it?
tinyurl.com.
Oh god, I've just written Mixler.com.
I can tell you off the top of my head if you Google tinyurl.
tinyurl.com
/ Twitter-comic-2016.
I got really panicky when we made that tiny URL. When I made that tiny URL, that tiny URL wasn't a thing we're all meant to be using anymore.
Twitter.
I got really jumpy.
Hyphen. That's dash, isn't it?
Yeah.
Comic.
Yeah. -2016.
So that's how we came about with the tiny URL. And that's my story about that.
Are you alright, James?
yeah, I'm fine. I'm chipper. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. The problem is I've been sat here for the last 3 hours so confidently predicting that once it turned round to normal waking up time, that my body would just go, yeah, you're right, yeah, skip a day, it's fine, don't worry, crack on as you were.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, he's not having it. He's like, no, I'm going to need some sleep, James. But not yet, not until we've finished. We're going to press on to the end, aren't we?
Oh, the inside of my mouth was really sore, like all my teeth are jaggedy. Yeah.
It's a shame we don't have any mouth doctors listening who could...
If you're a mouth doctor, please tweet in Twitter Comics 2016 and diagnose Nick with not AIDS.
You keep pluralising comic, and I'm worried that at this late hour people are going to be going to the wrong place.
I think that might have affected the whole
thing.
We're so close to it,
I'm sure it's fine.
I think the problem with my mouth is that I've gone through two toothbrushing periods.
Nick, there's been
without
an update.
Brushing my teeth.
Fucking hell.
What?
There's been an update.
Why? What are you talking to me about? That was put on. I'm sorry, that might... Everybody might be feeling a little bit too jangly for my sense of humour right now. So what's the update, James? Stop shouting at James. That's the update. Go on.
We're now 88% in terms of reaching our target, £440, which I think's
it's good.
Not that bad. Not that. Fucking
that's hell. Really good.
It's really good for.
That's not that bad. Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah, but I, because I'm involved in it, I can't possibly be positive, can I? Fucking God forfend.
But you haven't been doing that much.
No.
Like, just think about the work other people around you have been doing and imagine how you'd feel about that.
Dave's been brilliant.
Well, I think Mike's been quite good, I've been quite good.
Yeah, all of you have been really good.
Yeah, but I've been brilliant.
Yeah, that's true. We don't and you won the competition.
Dave's
making the thing that this is about. So Dave's the king of it.
Yeah.
I think I slipped that by.
Yeah.
I won't listen.
He already thinks that though anyway. So
it's oh, that makes it sad now. Now I feel bad.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, right. Oh God, don't you feel bad as well?
Food bag me.
No, I like them. It's good.
So how long would it take, like, if I said to you which hour are we in, like, how would you, because I counted on my fingers
what we in,
but I started from 10 and then there was like 10 and now I'm not sure if I should have counted from 10. I'm very confused.
We're an hour 22, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think we are in hour 22. That means it's,
I'm drawing page 22 now.
There you go.
It's an hour and it's a little over an hour and a half to go.
No.
Fucking hell.
No, it's 2.5 hours to go.
It's a little over 2.5 hours to go.
Yeah. That's correct.
That's how time works. And yes. Numbers.
Yes. I was off school that day. The day in numbers.
If you get stuck, give John a call.
I'm going to say, were you bunking off with John?
I didn't even know him, and I didn't lose my virginity until I was 19.
He wasn't even alive, mate. He's like half your age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not half my age.
Yeah, he is, though, just about.
He can't be.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
He's like practically the same height as me, and he's got less hair.
What was the thing about the teenage grandparents? Because that tickled the shit out of me.
Just instant teenage grandparents.
Was that one of instant. Your? That was one of your band
song
names.
Band
names.
Yeah.
That's the one that stayed with me.
What you should do is
teenage grandparents.
You should pick two or three band names and use the rest of them as song names, and they don't have to be like particularly developed songs. James Gachalka, sometimes he'll literally have the title Repeat to Fade and maybe a couple of lines of lyrics in the middle somewhere.
I was listening to a comedian talk to someone the other day
it's about
his comedy albums.
They're always on, you can't. It's like when you see Jim Carrey or Robin Williams on Mike Parkinson's.
Oh, fucking stop it.
Sofa, and they just can't calm down and it's stressful watching them.
He was saying about his, I think it was probably on Comedy Bang Bang actually, and he was talking about his comedy albums. And he said his first two, he'd managed to put all of his tracks. He can't be bothered to give his tracks names. So he just uses albums he really likes. So I think it was like a Kiss album and another sort of 70s rock band that he used. And when was it? It was NWA. He tried to use the track names for NWA straight out of Compton. And that was the point that the lawyers, the publishing company, got wind of it. And apparently they were very upset when they found out that he'd already got two albums worth under their noses, because apparently they do like hip hop, but they don't care for 70s rock.
Who was
okay.
the comedian though?
Was
it Doug Stanhope?
No, let me have a look.
Was it Louis C.K.?
No, it wasn't a big, it's no one you'd have heard of.
Was it a lady?
It's one of the cool comedians that only people like me are.
Was it an American? Was it a Canadian? Have they been on Just for Laughs? But only in the 80s, because that's when I watched it.
I think it was that one.
Just for laughs. That show used to be great. It used to be like stand-ups from all over the world would go to the Montreal Comedy Festival, and Just for Laughs was just this show late at night on Channel 4 at the weekends or whatever. Mm. And you wouldn't know who the hell was going to be on it, and there were all sorts of different comedians. It was amazing.
I think it was Horatio Sanz.
Horatio Sanz?
Horatio Sanz.
Horatio Sanz.
Yeah.
That's, I think so. God, no, there's a font joke in this. Yeah. What other sorts of trance model is Comic Sans? What are comics?
Sharif.
So that's, is he related to Horatio Sharif? Seraph?
No, sans serif.
But you can. There's a famous sharif, isn't there? So you could
trebuchet. Horatio Trebuchet.
Well, if he's Horatio Sands, is he related to Ariel Sands?
And Comic Sands.
Nice.
Well, I would.
Yeah, that's how names work.
You know what? Sands. You know what? I would think of a great font pun, but there just isn't like the Times New Roman. Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, I feel a bit better about not really being good at puns because apparently it's worse.
Yeah.
He said, just because I feel like his shame needs to be distributed fully. He said he'd like to make a joke about fonts, but he can't because there's just no Times New Roman.
Jesus. But I can't because of windings.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to wash my hoodie with some Ariel
soap powder. Soap powder. That's something normal people do this time of day.
Fucking hell.
What's happening? Where's James going? He's holding this all together.
I'm going to need the fresh air again.
Don't go outside, James. This is like that Leonard Rossiter thing. We'll just find a pile of James's clothes out in the garden because it's really raining heavily, so he could just wash away really easily.
Sorry, I've got a Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin story.
Oh, this should be good.
Excellent. So, it's one of those.
Oh my god, everybody's sitting down to listen. Are you sitting comfortably?
Is there a mini USB charger somewhere?
There's one in the kitchen. There's one there.
I've got two here.
Oh, it's cool. There's one plugged into the main.
So I'd seen The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin many times as a kid, but not. You'd always miss episodes when it was on broadcast, or I would always miss episodes when it was on broadcast TV. And it's one of those shows where I'd never seen the last episode. So I was on YouTube and I found there was a channel dedicated to The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin. So, and all three seasons were there. Decent transfer as well. It was quite good. So over the course of a week or two, I sat there and I binged on Reggie Perrin. I watched it all the way through, right up until the penultimate episode. And I thought, I'll leave that to the end of the week. When I feel like Friday night or something, I put my feet up and I watch Reggie Perrin. I got home on a Thursday night and I was flicking about YouTube and found that the channel had been taken down. I didn't get to see so I still haven't seen the final episode of The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin. And in many ways, I don't want to. It's a bit like, you know, the final episodes of Ulysses 3000 or the Lost Cities of Gold. I think that the last episodes of those series are like mythical. I'm not sure that actually happened.
I think the moral that I finally came up with for this story will actually give you some solace. I'll let you find it out when you read it, though.
Oh, good. Good.
But just bear that in mind when you read the context.
Is it a little bit quite life solace. Is full of surprises?
No, it's original Perrin is shit.
No,
it's not, actually. I my dad used to watch it. My mum didn't, so I only ever saw bits. I'd only see it when I was at his house or when I was at home.
Yeah. I liked how uptight it was. Does that surprise you?
I feel like maybe you could relate.
Yeah, a little bit.
Possibly.
I wouldn't have the bottle to pretend to kill myself. I just prefer to mire myself in my own misery and self-pity.
Things that stick in my mind is I remember at one point you got a job working at Berry Land's sewage plant near Thamesdittan.
And he had and fox teeth on and put on a funny voice.
And he fell in the shit once.
Yeah, probably.
And as a child, I found that hilarious.
It's funny.
I mean, it was... I knew where the actual sewage plant was, so carried extra value because of that. But then also, he fell in the shit. So.
Yeah.
a man fell in a big lake of poo. It was hilarious. A big lake of poo that I knew existed and I knew how bad it smelled.
Big lake of poo.
The thing is,
if you ever go to Berry Lands train station, it's literally next door
to the pew.
Yeah, if you get a train from Waterloo to Hampton Court, it stops next to a lake of shit on the way. Nice. It stops sewage plant, train platform.
overlooking massive lake.
Does it make your destination more pleasant as a result? Oh, at least it's not this big lake of shit I've turned up in.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Is that the similar effect to when we go through Basingstoke?
Yeah.
On the train. So, a bit of local rivalry there.
Yeah.
For anyone listening from Southampton, like where James and I are from. In Southampton, great, compared to other places that are like close to it. So, I think I've incepted the worst sort of comedy instinct into my son Noah, because at the end of Frozen Fever, the tiny short... based using characters from the film Frozen, there's a very catchy song and it's very lovely, and then the final shot proper in it, or probably not the final shot proper, but one of the closing bits involves the only real villain from the film ending up hit by a giant snowball. Spoilers, sorry everyone. Hit by a giant snowball into a cart full of horse shit.
Right.
And
classic.
And the my son, obviously, he kind of understands what's going on, but he didn't really know what that was. But we do know poo, because he's three years old, so poo comes up quite a lot. And and now whenever he sees that, he says, "He fell into poo," in a really particular way. Which sounds like the way a three-year-old would probably say that if they were synthesizing a whole bunch of different things they'd learned into a response. Except it's literally the exact way I always say it to him as well. That's how I react to that scene every single time. And the thing is, deep down, I think I've deliberately been really consistent about the way I react to it, because I want that to be how he reacts to it. He fell in the poo!
So many of your stories...
sound like this, abuse, don't they?
No, they walk this line between sort of charming family anecdotes and desperate cries for help.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much the tagline on the autobiography that I will probably never have the work ethic to write.
Or that will be published, or posthumously.
Yeah. Well, Chuck Tingle just self-publishes, doesn't he? All of my stuff will be published posthumously and ghostwritten by ghosts. Because... And once I'm dead, I am going to go around and employ ghosts. Yeah. Other ghosts. I'm not going to write. I'm still not. I'm
You're going to be pounded in the butt by ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a Chuck Tingle of the afterlife.
Think about all the extra time you're going to have on your hands when you're dead, though, to actually get that writing done.
Well, yeah, except that I also won't really have anything driving me. And strictly speaking, I should have right now, and I don't. So if there's no like real need to get up in the mornings or whatever, I probably won't. Is how that works. Let's see if any of the farmers and stuff who follow us on Twitter have joined us on the stream. No.
Okay. Farmers.
Actually, it's seven. It's like half seven. So
they'd all be like
they'd all be out on the fields.
Yeah. You think? Their days are well begun. Is there no one listening right now?
There's two people listening.
Oh, wow, okay.
Hello,
two people. How are you doing?
Hi, two people. Oh, wow, my voice went really weird.
Are you keeping the blood flowing, James?
No, I'm going for a piss.
All right, okay.
So something's flying.
I kind of wish I hadn't asked. I feel like that was prying a bit, and now he's got no real privacy. Like, or...
Because James... clearly really values
keeping
things no.
No.
I'm just going to update the Just Giving page every 30 seconds until James comes and pries me away from the computer. So it's 88%. Is that where it was a bit ago?
Yeah.
88%. I think we can do it.
Yeah,
totally. I think we can do it, listeners. So, I think we can do it.
I mean, this is the dead hours. So.
I'm a bit worried. I'm a bit worried that on Twitter and Facebook we've made it sound like really you should listen if you're going to give any money, which seems odd that I'd think that would be the case. But, like, I should probably tell people on Twitter and Facebook that they don't have to listen if they don't want to. We won't take it personally.
I was, well, like I said earlier, the thing will be once it's done, whatever
we get while it's on. Once it's done, it then becomes on the 15th of October. We did a 24-hour Twitter comic. You could, if you donate here, you get a free PDF of the comic. Do you know what I mean?
We will
continue to raise money for the worthy cause.
Yes, I agree. Sorry, I was doing stuff on Facebook. It always takes all of my concentration.
So yes, 88% of the goal.
I think young people can just do Facebook without thinking of the... But I can't.
Do young people still use Facebook?
I think they probably Instagram most of the time, or Snapchat, or...
We just need to get up to 450, and then I can start making jokes about needing the other 10%.
Oh! That was clever.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
I think you are.
Yeah, no, it's definitely true. It's clear from how successful I am in life, and the way that I sit astride the comics industry like a...
titan among...
Buffalo Tartan Colossus.
Yeah. Does Buffalo Tartan Colossus, is it a kilt?
No, it's the colour I'm wearing.
Oh, no, I see. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. You were actually talking about you. I thought you were referring to because I know you're spending a lot of time in the X-Men universe at the moment, and I thought it was a specific reference to an outfit that Colossus wore at some point.
I'm putting Buffalo Tartan Colossus on my band name list.
Oh, cool. I did notice, I was listening out through that entire list of your band names for stuff that I recognised as something hilarious I'd said at some point, and I didn't really catch anything. But I'm sure I've just forgotten loads of the genius things I've said at points.
Definitely. That's absolutely definitely what happened there.
Need approximately... 12% rich is about four. Hang on. Shit, I just deleted it all. No, it's back.
Yay.
Oh, Control Z. Where was I before I learned that Control Z? It's like one of those magical things.
Yeah.
You don't know it's there, and then you realise it's there, and it opens up everything. Like Control C and Control V. They save a lot of time.
So we need 60 quid to hit the target.
Yes. Have a look. I'm not sure that's particularly compelling, but fuck it. How do you say that word then?
I think. But I've decided I'm going with something much simpler.
I've got a Polish colleague who actually... No, because one time I told him that saying, not my circus, not my monkeys, was one of my favourite sayings, but I don't know how to say it. And I looked it up. I looked the translation of it up on Google and tried to say it to him. And he wrote it down phonetically for me. So on my desk at work, I have the Polish language version of that saying. And I love it. Not my circus, not my monkeys. It's a good saying.
It is
a good saying, actually.
Do we want to take a break? Should we take a break? I'm gonna call it, because I'm in charge of the desk at the moment. Okay. We're going to take a break, listener. So thank you.
Should we say we'll be back at 8 o'clock?
I think that's a good idea.
I know that's 20 whole minutes, but we keep saying 5 minutes and then being back in like half an hour. if we give ourselves a real 20 minutes and a real target.
Sorry. That's a good idea. No, I think that's a brilliant idea. So, listener, thank you for listening. We'll be back at 8 o'clock and hopefully you'll still be there. If you aren't just someone's machine that they left switched on. Actually, if you are someone's machine that they just left switched on while they passed out in front of you, then...
Could the machine please call a hospital?
No, you'll probably be waking up again about now, and we'll still be there. So hopefully you'll wake up exactly at 8 o'clock and that's when we'll be back. And it'll be like we're greeting you specially when we come back. Anyway, we're going now. Bye. Bye.
Bye.